What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and in today's episode, we're finally going to be talking about centers. The Wizards have finally addressed the center depth. If you were on Wizards Twitter any of the last couple weeks through the draft and free agency, it was a frenzy of fans basically saying, how is this team going to operate? They're going to get bullied on the glass. They can't grab a rebound. And understandably so, because they had a pretty weak front court. They had Alex Saar, maybe Rashawn Holmes, and nothing else after trading Kelly Olynyk. But they have finally addressed that with a pair of signings. So I'm going to talk about those signings, talk about the future outlook of the roster with those signings. So it's going to be a bit of a shorter pod. The last one I recorded with my friend Matt Moderno was nearly an hour, so you got a treat there. But this is going to be shorter, kind of just breaking down those moves, breaking down that trade from February in which the Wizards sent Bagley out, then bring him back. And kind of talking about Will Dawkins and how he's been able to you know, manipulate some of the lesser assets into really good, strong assets. So all that and more coming up in today's show. But we got to lead it with the first news. And I'm going to go in chronological order because around, you know, noon on a little afternoon Eastern time on Thursday, I'm recording this Thursday night, so you'll hear it on Friday. But around, you know, noon 12:30 on Thursday, Shams Charania of ESPN reported that the Washington Wizards have reached an agreement with forward/center Tristan Vukcevic on a two-way deal. Now, Tristan was on a two-way deal last year. He appeared a lot more towards the end of the season, but spent a decent half with the Capital City Go-Go, which, if you don't know, is the Wizards G League affiliate. And a two-way contract, if you don't know, is where, you know, guys are able to split time between the G League affiliate, which for the Wizards is the Go-Go, and the Wizards, the NBA team. Now, Tristan on the two-way deal will have a maximum of 50 games that he's, you know, eligible to be active on the Wizards roster. So he can't be your full-time answer at backup center, and the Wizards knew that. But nonetheless, it's still nice to bring Tristan back. You know, had a really good showing the last, you know, couple games of the season, specifically a stretch over the final three games where he averaged 23 points and six rebounds on good shooting splits from the field from three. Showed that outside touch that has kind of gotten him some looks and some big minutes, you know, when he's gotten them. So certainly like what I saw down the stretch from Tristan. His best game as an NBA player came in the finale, where Bob Carrington ended that game winner at Miami and the Wizards won. That may or may not be the difference of them getting Bailey or Trey Johnson. That can be a discussion for later. I will say I'm glad they won. You want to win. Bob had a great game winner, great game there. But Tristan had 28 points, 11 rebounds, and 5 assists. Shot 4-6 from 3, 9 of 12 from the field against Miami when he played heavy minutes at the center position. So certainly didn't play Miami's best, but he played his best. And I think that could be a sign of things to come. You know, Tristan has a lot of potential. I believe he's 21 still, maybe a little bit closer to 22. So on the older side of some of the younger guys in the Wizards young core. But nonetheless, still relatively young, 42nd pick from Washington 2 years ago, entering his third NBA season. So I'm glad they brought him back. They tendered a two-way qualifying offer to him, eventually bring him back on a two-way deal. You know, he's got good touch. He's got, you know, to work on some things, but I really do like his ability to shoot the ball. You know, he can score from mid-range. He certainly has an outside jumper. He showcased that towards the end of the season. And he's got good touch around the rim in terms of, you know, finishing down low. Now, can he bang down low with post moves and all that? No. But if he catches it in the paint, he, you know, falls away or takes a little short hook, he's got good touch in that regard. Now, he does have some deficiencies in his game. Maybe it's the reason he's not getting a standard deal. He's got to play way better defense. You know, he can get lost on defense sometimes, not be in the right spots. He's not your elite rim protector that some people, you know, he's 7 foot. Some 7 footers can really protect the rim. That's not necessarily his specialty. He's more of an offensive 7 footer than, I guess, a defensive or a two-way 7 footer, if you will. So certainly I like a lot of the elements of his game with the shooting touch and the offensive creation, the ability on that end, where he does need to improve his defense. I think he needs to get a little bit stronger base as well in order to defend some centers if he's asked to play there. So certainly like the move. I'm glad they didn't let him walk. I didn't think they ever would. But bringing him back on a two-way, I think it doesn't necessarily speak to his abilities. I think it speaks to the roster they have. It's just there's so many players on this team. We'll talk about it in a second, but you know, maybe they felt the two-way deal was the best way to get him to continue that development path between the Go-Go and the Wizards, while also continuing to keep him as one of the roster spots, while maybe, you know, giving a standard deal to somebody else. Nonetheless, that brings Washington's two-way spots. And if you don't know, NBA teams are allotted a maximum of 3 two-way spots. Washington's are full. Jalen Martin has one. Jameer Watkins just signed a two-way, and now Tristan Vukcevic comes in there. It was reported, I mean, Rick Pitino, Kadarius Richmond's coach at St. John's, reported, or not reported, but tweeted that he was proud that he signed a two-way deal. It was also reported by Chris Haynes on draft night that Richmond signed a two-way deal. I believe that's an Exhibit 10 contract. Based on what I've seen from some articles and clarification stuff, I would assume Richmond's on a two-way, or sorry, on a 10-day contract, and that Jalen Martin is still under contract. I haven't seen anything to say otherwise on that two-way deal. So they're locked down, and two-ways aren't official. Like, I think Jameer Watkins, Tristan Vukcevic are pretty locked into those two-way spots. But Jalen Martin, again, like, I liked what I saw in flashes of his ability to get to the rim on offense, the speed that he showed in the fast break. I liked it. I liked his defense too. But again, I don't know if he's locked into that spot, but I certainly think that Watkins and Vukcevic are at least two of the solidified two-way deals going into next season. So that's Vukcevic. Like, I'm glad they brought him back. A two-way made sense. They tendered the two-way qualifying offer about a week ago. So it'll be nice to bring him back. He'll spend a lot of time, I think, early in the season with the Go-Go. But when that signing was announced, I was like, okay, you know, it's a little bit of clarity down low in the front court. But again, he can only be active for 50 NBA games. Like, that can't be your option or your solution there in the front court at backup center. And Rashawn Holmes, $250,000 guaranteed. You don't know what's going to happen there. So, you know, I was sitting back saying, okay, I think they have to sign someone else. I even tweeted it out when Tristan got signed to the two-way. Like, yes, this does solve it somewhat of their front court. Lack of depth in the front court, I should say. But I still don't think it does the job. And clearly Will Dawkins knew that because a couple hours later, around like 6 p.m. Eastern time, I don't know why I'm timestamping this, but why not go with it? Around 6 p.m. Eastern time, Sham Sharania again reported that the Washington Wizards had reached an agreement with Marvin Bagley III on a one-year contract. The deals of the contract, I don't believe, were reported, and I feel like whenever that happens, it's typically a veteran minimum, a minimum deal. So, you know, I guess roughly $2-3 million. So not a lot allotted to Marvin Bagley III, but he returns to DC. If you remember, the Wizards acquired him in January of 2024. It was a pretty solid trade. They got him and Isaiah Livers, and I believe a pair of second round picks in exchange for Mike Muscala and Danilo Gallinari, got him from Detroit. And that was basically so that Detroit could salary dump the extra year on Bagley's contract. The Wizards moved on pretty quickly from Livers, but Bagley stuck around. You know, he had a pretty productive season to end it. I think he had 20 points, 11 rebounds, and a couple blocks in his first Wizards game, which I think was against the Knicks. But again, like, he played pretty well. And then last year, he suffered a knee injury, and that was kind of the end of that time with the Wizards. But before that, he was a serviceable backup center, you know, backing up Valanciunas and Sarr for the first part of the season. He's appeared in 43 games for the Wizards, I guess, over the past two-ish years, around 10.6 rebounds in that time. Again, another serviceable backup big, another body down low that can take up some minutes. I also will note, it is a one-year deal, so it still maintains the Wizards' flexibility in terms of roster space and cap space for 2026 and beyond, which seems to be an underlying theme of what I've seen. You know, in the Spurs trade, they're trading about, you know, expiring deal in Olynyk, but they're only taking back two expirings in Branham and Wesley. That's a lot of their deals. You know, with Jordan Poole, they're trading that extra year of his contract, and they're bringing in McCollum and Olynyk at the time, which are expiring deals. So this is also, it's not a lot of money, but it's still money that won't be on the books past this season. But again, it's a nice, smart signing for Will Dawkins and the Wizards. You know, you need another body. I've seen, you know, Bagley's well respected around the organization, and, you know, clearly, you know, carved out a role for himself in the time that he saw for Washington. He's been a solid player, number two pick in 2018. So certainly hasn't had the career that some thought, especially with that draft class of like Ayton, Luka, Trey Young. Like, certainly I think the Kings, if they could have that pick back, would take it back. But after all of these injuries and moving around, Bagley's found a little bit of a role as a nice backup big in the league. Certainly like what he can do around the rim offensively. He's not the greatest defender, but has enough length, I think, to hold his own on that end. But again, I think it's a serviceable backup center. And when Vucevic is spending a lot more time with Gogo, you can insert, you know, a guy like Marvin Bagley to take up some backup minutes behind Sarr. He's a cheap option, only a one-year deal, familiar with the system, with the team, with the coach, with the players. So again, I think it's a pretty smart signing. Now it is, I guess, a little concerning if you're Rashawn Holmes. Like, you only have $250,000 guaranteed on your contract. It's a $13.2 million contract. And I will say, like, I do think Rashawn Holmes played better as a backup last year than Marvin Bagley did. I really like what Holmes did. But again, at $13.2 million, I think the Wizards would rather have a veteran minimum in Bagley than Holmes. And look, they don't have to guarantee Holmes a deal until January. So they could keep him on that $250,000 until that point. And then in a trade, I think they can consolidate as much of the contract or guarantee as much of the contract as possible to send out in a deal. So maybe that's the case where they want to, you know, dump him at the deadline. They hold on to Holmes. But I certainly think that Bagley is a better option, definitely a cheaper option than Holmes would be, I guess, if you were to keep him and guarantee the full contract. But I certainly do like the Bagley signing. I find no fault with it. But what it did do, and I wrote this article for Bullets Forever. So again, you can always check out my work there. A lot of other great writers there as well. But my article, I wrote the article about Marvin Bagley signing. And when I was writing it, I recalled that just 5 months ago in February at the deadline, the Wizards sent him out in that deal to get Marcus Smart and the first round pick. And I was like, you know what? Let me look at what that trade is now, because the Wizards have made a lot of moves after the fact. And so the package that they had gotten, they've done a lot with, and have pretty much a new package. So I wanted to break it down to kind of see how good the trade was. Because at the time, like, getting a first round pick for what they sent out was great. The fact that Memphis, you know, had a really bad middle of the season and then somehow made the playoffs as the 8th seed, got the 18th pick, pretty much the best case scenario for the Wizards happened. So I decided to break it down, and here's the updated trade. And I'm going to just break down the trade, and then I'll try to make it easier to understand in a bit. But basically, the Wizards sent out a 2025 second round pick, Johnny Davis, and Marvin Bagley III, all traded to Memphis, and in return received a 2025 first round pick, Marcus Smart, Colby Jones, and Alex Len. Furthermore, from that deal, the 2025 first-round pick via Memphis turned into the 18th pick, which they then traded for Will Riley, the 21st pick, Jameer Watkins, the 43rd pick, the 2021 and 2032 second-round pick. Marcus Smart, who they got in the deal, was paid him last year, and then $21.5 million expiring deal this year, can be a solid vet mentor. There's also interest in him in trade, so they can maybe get some more assets and expand what they've returned. Colby Jones, which they turned into Dylan Jones, and a 2029 second-round pick via Houston, and Alex Len. All of that for Marvin Bagley, Johnny Davis, and a 2025 second round pick. I mean, that's pretty fascinating to think about. It's pretty crazy that Will Dawkins has somehow did that, you know, getting all of those assets. And they waived Alex Len, but that's beside the point. Like, and then after it, you know, a baller move, you just re-sign Bagley 5 months later. Like, oh, here's Bagley. And I will say, like, Memphis made the trade to dump the extra year on Smart's deal, and then obviously have cap space to make some moves this offseason. That's why they attached their first round pick. However, what the Wizards got back, that doesn't diminish it. Like, they had the cap space to take back a bad contract in Smart. They got the 18th pick, traded back, and got three extra seconds, one being Jameer Watkins. Will Riley with the pick that they got at 21 via Utah for the move back. They picked up another second round pick and Dylan Jones for Colby Jones, arguably picking up the better player in that trade, and also getting a second round pick. And all of that, you know, Johnny Davis is one of the biggest busts of the century, you know, 10th pick in 2022, I believe. And he's damn near out of the league. I mean, he's in the G League, I think, for the Westchester Knicks, but, you know, basically sending him and a second round pick to get a top 20 pick, Marcus Smart, Alex Len, Dylan Jones, Will Riley, Jameer Watkins, and 2 seconds. That's pretty fascinating, especially when you add Bagley back 5 months later. It showcases that there's more moves to just the primary one, and it's asset management at its finest. You know, you see a team in Memphis that has a disgruntled asset that hasn't played well, has been hurt, and has a pretty bad contract, you know they want to get out of it, and you say, hey, I'll take that on because I can. We're rebuilding, and we have cap space. Give me your first-round pick. Give me some other players, and then I'm going to not only take that good deal, but turn those other players into future picks, into Will Riley, into Jameer Watkins. And that's kind of GMing 101. Like, you could never see a Ernie Grunfeld or really a Tommy Shepard making moves like this. I mean, you had Tommy Shepard out there trading Rui Hachimura for Kendrick Nunn and a pair of second round picks because he knew he didn't want to pay Rui and was maybe going to pay Danny Avdia. Like, what are we doing? That was just the, you're never going to see moves, short-sighted moves like that. You know, it's clearly a new era. And I don't want to, this isn't just a Will Dawkins Glaze podcast. Like, I've gone on him, obviously, for some bad moves, like not trading Kuzma for that first round pick, holding on to Tyus Jones too long, Landry Shamet, all that. But when there's just not too much to negatively talk about, like, it's going to sound like Glaze because he's just doing a great job. And now this is, we're getting closer to the point where the results will tell the full story. Like, yes, he's made these great picks on paper and they've looked good so far, but there's still a ways to go, and I'm fine. Like, I sing Will Dawkins' praise all the time. I think he's done a phenomenal job, especially with the keys that he was handed, the roster and the disgruntled assets that he was handed. But I think he's done a tremendous job up to this point, and we'll see if the results also reflect that. But I certainly do think that trade was great at the time, and the fact that he's been able to build on it and create an even better trade return, it speaks volumes to the new era of the Wizards, the new front office. So beyond that, I think the Bagley signing is a good, you know, under the radar move. Obviously, you bring back Vucevic, and now you have a couple of bigs down low that you can use behind Sar. We already talked about Holmes, but now that brings me to the final part of the pod, which is the current roster. And I've talked about the current roster, the updated roster, at the end of most of these pods throughout the draft and free agency. The Wizards roster is certainly interesting. You know, summer league starts, I guess, today by the time you're hearing this, Friday. So we'll see how some of these, you know, end of the roster guys play. But in terms of the roster, the Wizards currently have 18 standard contracts. NBA teams by opening night need to be down to 15. So some roster cuts, waves, or trades will have to be made. Whether they consolidate a few players for another, you know, bigger expiring contract, maybe get some picks, I have no idea. But they are at 18 standard deals, need to get down to 15. There's two-way spots are full at three. And you're only allowed to, I believe, carry 21 players on your roster throughout training camp and the offseason. So they're at that 21-player mark. So certainly I think some moves will be made. They don't have to be made just now. Again, they have a lot of time before training camp, or I should say before opening night, to really, you know, round out this roster. So I know a lot of people want these cuts, these trades to be made now, so they know exactly what the Wizards will have, you know, by late October. But I should warn you that they don't have to make these moves now. They probably won't make these moves now. They'll kind of take these guys into training camp like they should and see what they have, see who should stick, who maybe they could part with. The roster stands as follows. Guards, Bob Carrington, CJ McCollum, Trey Johnson, Marcus Smart, AJ Johnson, Dylan Jones, Malachi Branham, and Blake Wesley. Wings, Chris Middleton, Bilal Coulibaly, Keyshawn George, Justin Champagne, Corey Kispert, Will Riley, and Cam Whitmore. Forwards / centers, Alex Sarr, Rashawn Holmes, and now Marvin Bagley, and then your two ways, Tristan Vucevic, Jameer Watkins, and Jaylen Martin. Like I said, that's 18 standard deals, 3 2 ways. They're at the 21-player threshold for offseason and training camp rosters. Again, they have a lot of wings. They have a lot of guards. And the biggest question mark was, how are they going to address the front court? And they have. You know, I think they have enough. I think they have enough bodies down low. Like, I don't know if they're satisfied with it, but you know, Sarr certainly will be your starting center, whether you view him as a power forward or a center. The Wizards don't care. I think he's going to play center, at least to begin the season. You'll have Marvin Bagley to come in as a serviceable big. It's proven that he can back up centers. He did it for Sarr and Valanciunas last year in the league. So you kind of lock that down, a one-year vet minimum deal. You could always bring Tristan Vucevic up if, unfortunately, there is an injury and you need him to eat up some games and some minutes. He can very well do that for you on a two-way. And maybe that's, the Wizards are fine with that. They could also keep Holmes around. But again, it just keeps getting harder and harder to believe that's going to be the case, especially with pretty much all of his contract non-guaranteed. The fact that they have a lot of young guys competing for the last couple roster spots, maybe that they have, now that they have Bagley, they have Vucevic on the two-way, they decide that Holmes is a little bit more expendable and they can maybe part with him a little bit easier. Now that obviously they have some semblance of depth down low. So again, just to round it out, Vucevic re-signs on a two-way. Bagley returns to DC on a one-year veteran minimum contract to back up Alex Saar. Rashawn Holmes definitely on the firm roster bubble now with only $250,000 guaranteed on that contract. Then also broke down that updated roster, 18 standard deals. They need to get down to 15 at some point. So definitely some moves to be made in the future. Two-way spots, all three are full with Vucevic now signing and taking up that third. So that's going to do it for this episode. A little bit of a shorter one, but definitely wanted to give some thoughts on some of the deals they made to shore up the front court, because I've been getting a lot of comments, some great, some not so great, about the front court depth or lack thereof. So I wanted to definitely do a pod addressing that. By the time you're hearing this, it'll be Friday. So the Wizards are going to be back. Wizards basketball is back today. They will be facing off against the Phoenix Suns at 9 p.m. Eastern time at the Thomas and Mack Center in Las Vegas to kick off the 2025 Summer League campaign. The Wizards should be a favorite in Summer League. They have 7 first-round picks from the last 2 drafts on their roster. A bunch of other guys I'm intrigued to hear about and watch play, like Kadari Richmond, who's on an Exhibit 10, Keyshawn Gilbert, Liam Robbins, 7-footer. Maybe he's a two-way or go-go candidate. I'd like to see him. We broke down the full roster in depth with my guy Matt Moderno in the last episode, a little bit towards the end. So if you want a full breakdown of the full roster, be sure to listen to that. But certainly excited to see the Wizards play. I'm excited to see Trey Johnson. I'm excited to see Jameer Watkins of O'Reilly for the first time as Wizards. I'm also excited to see some of the second-year guys. Like Bob Carrington, almost had a triple-double in his first Summer League action last year. Keyshawn George, I'm excited to see kind of how he's grown and maybe his shot creation game, how that three-point shot has evolved. Obviously, I think a lot of fans are expecting domination from Saar, especially after last year's 0-15 Summer League debut and some of the poor performances from there. But I'll just warn, sometimes, it's not the environment for these guys. And again, Summer League takes are wild. Again, you had the Kwame Brown comps flying. The takes were flying hot after Saar's game. And I try to temper those and tell them, you should take this back now. And then he ends up making all-rookie first team as a really solid end to that rookie season. Cooper Flagg tonight had 10 points. I think it was 5-21 from the field. Not good in his first Summer League game. Now, if you actually watch the game, Cooper Flagg played well. He just couldn't make a shot. Wemby was 2-13 in his first Summer League game. So, I will warn, don't expect Saar to look like prime Wilt or prime Shaq out there. I expect him to play way better than he did last year, and I expect him to be pretty clearly one of the better players on the court. But I would temper the expectations. Don't expect him to purely dominate everyone just because he's a second-year player. But certainly excited to see some of those guys. Dylan Jones, that's someone I'm excited to watch. Maybe a roster bubble guy. Really intrigued about that. AJ Johnson, let's see what kind of a leap he can take in year 2. So some intriguing storylines on that. I do have something to go to. I do have a thing on Friday. I'm going to try my best to watch the game and live tweet it. Certainly if I had to make a prediction on the starters, I guess I'd say Trey, Bub as your backcourt, and then Riley, Saar, and George as your, forwards and center, I guess. But I will say I'm going to try my best to live tweet the game and obviously watch it as best as I can. Bijan Todd, my good friend, I don't know if he'll be there, but he'll be covering. Chase Hughes should be there for Monumental. So be sure to look out for some of their content as well. But that's going to do it. I'm excited. Wizards basketball is back. They signed Bagley. They signed Vucevic. And now we're kind of going in from the off season to Summer League. Let's see some of these end of the bench guys, see if they can stick at the end of the roster. But certainly the second year guys, the rookies, that's kind of the main storyline, the intrigue for the Wizards and their fan base on Friday night. So a lot of exciting stuff coming up. I'll try to do some probably a recap pod after the first 2 Summer League games. So maybe you'll get to that around Sunday or Monday will be the next time you hear from me. But again, that's going to do it for this episode. The support's been great on the YouTube channel. Again, if you're watching this, please go hit the subscribe button. We're closing on 500 subs. If you're listening on Apple, you could also, be my friend. Go over to YouTube, hit the subscribe button, turn the notifications on. Make sure you're watching on YouTube as well if that's kind of your route. If you just want to listen, that's fine too. I appreciate support in all kinds. But YouTube is there for you if you want to subscribe and watch it there. That's my spiel. That's my plug. But now I'm going to actually wrap up the pod. Bagley back, Vukcevic back, Summer League Hoops back, Wizards back. Exciting time in Wizards basketball. It's going to do it for this episode. Thanks for listening, guys. Go Wiz.